Hi, I'm Claire Morrow. I began doing elder care work when my own parents started to falter and needed help, but I live very far away. In the beginning, I was trying to reach out to them and manage their situation. Even though I did have a sister who lived much closer, I was concerned, I wanted to help, and I was kind of making myself crazy because I didn't live nearby and it was very hard to do anything. But I'm an action-oriented person. If I see a problem, I like to think of a way to address it and go ahead and do that. And so I realized after I'd visited my parents and my dad was in a rehab for a stroke at the time, that there were problems that all elderly people or people who were becoming older were having with coping with the next phase of their lives. And because I had a counseling background and a programming outreach background, I began to work with my local elder services because I thought I can't always be there to help my parents, but I can help other people who are dealing with these problems. And that gave me a sense of purpose, and that's how I got into the industry.
Well, in terms of employment, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is interpreted on the basis of an individual's development. So if you're a child, the people involved would be concerned with the needs at a level of a child. If you're an adult, you know, the individuals might be the same, but they're going to adjust their response based on who you are at the age you are. And so for elder care, the needs of the elderly, they're people like everyone else, and they have the same basic needs, but they change over time. And people come into their elderhood in very individually. So, you know, we've all heard the comment, oh, you know, she doesn't act her age, or he's so fit, you'd never believe he was 75, whatever. But the point is, not everyone has needs that demand assistance at the same time in their lives, and everybody's circumstances are different. Someone who grew up in a less privileged situation, like many people who are very elderly now, who grew up, say, in the Depression when nutrition wasn't as high, maybe have more physical needs than someone who was someone in their early elderhood who got a lot of positive reinforcement, good nutrition, lots of education, and maximized their adulthood. So needs come in different times and in different quantities. So the Maslow's hierarchy is effective for determining where you need help. If everyone has these basic needs at all times in their life, then there are certain times when some needs are going to be more acute than others. And when an elderly person becomes frail, their basic needs, the activities of daily living, are most commonly what they need help with. So when you approach elder care as a provider at whatever level your particular interests and expertise may pertain to an individual, then you're fulfilling your own hierarchy of needs at the same time as you're assisting someone else. And this, I think, is what helps the caregiver cultivate empathy, because you can not only appreciate the other person's situation, but you can project yourself into that individual's situation, because if we're fortunate, we all grow old. Well, currently in the elder housing community industry, there's a bit of a lull. And so in residential care situations, there may not be that many people. It may have filled up with the most needy people who can afford a certain level of assistance. But there is always a role of older adults who may require assistance. Currently, a lot of those people have minimal needs that can be served by home care agencies rather than residential care. The question for the industry, for the residential elder care industry, is how can they make enough options for people who will need more help and want to live in a community setting, but find an affordable entry point. There are luxury versions of elder residences, and there are very minimal versions of elder residences. And that's where safety and skilled care and appropriate conforming to regulations becomes important to understand if you're either a family member or searching for a solution for yourself. Caregivers also need to be mindful of the jobs that they may apply for or assume within the industry, because the quality of commitment that the elder care provider as your employer is willing to make will have an impact on the quality of job satisfaction that you take from that employment. If your employer has decided that your patient load is going to be X amount, and you find that amount to be a burden in the course of your day, like you're scrambling to do a good job and meet the needs, then that's a decision that's not wholly on you as the employee. You maybe would want to search out an employer who has a better sense of balance of what one individual can do in a day, for example. But no matter what caring industry you may be a part of, elders will need your help. If you choose to go into that industry, there is an application for you at just about every caregiving level. Yes, it depends on where you enter the industry. Certainly affects your pay scale. If you're at a manager level and you're qualified to be a site director or an operations manager, then your pay scale is obviously different from someone who is a per diem worker who provides basic care to residents or people in their home. That right now is a low paying job, which may have a higher scale if you happen to be employed by someone who is willing to pay you more on an individual basis. But most agencies stick to a standard scale. There's a movement afoot to make minimum wage part of a caregiving structure for that basic in-home care. So that remains to be seen. However, at other levels in the process, for example, if you are in the real estate market and you decide to participate in the elder care industry, then cultivating clients, your ability to cultivate clients and to bring them in to the residence, getting their commitment and placement, that could end up being a situation that is more highly rewarded. People who have an affinity for working with humans, you know, who have a commitment to a positive development of humankind are already predisposed to participating at any age group in life. So for the elder care industry, they need art therapists, they need psychologists, they need life coaches, mentors, they need a religious community, they need teachers, because that is what keeps them at a purposeful level of involvement in life, to be able to feel healthy enough to interact with others. You do need people to help you with your daily care. If you feel like you're fresh and clean and dressed presentably, then you'll go and participate in your community, whether it's your church or a musical event or a meet and greet with nursery children, reading in schools. There are so many ways that you can continue to reach out and give and be a part of every level of society. And I personally believe that with a large amount of elder individuals who are used to being contributing members of society, they will be asking and looking for people who can help them continue to do that. And that provides an opportunity for a vibrant intergenerational exchange. Again, if you are helping someone meet their needs, then that's a passion for humankind in you that you're reaching out with. And when you can see that the person you're there to help is engaged and has a positive outlook, that's rewarding both for the elder and the caregiver at whatever level. So if you're a teacher running a class and you see that people come in anxious, maybe a little withdrawn, and by the end, they're smiling and talking to their fellow classmates, that's positive reinforcement. That's what I get when I run my workshops. If you're helping a person feel good about who they are, if you're in a mentor exchange and you're able to pass your wisdom on to someone else, as a caregiver, you may find that your elderly client has a lot to say that is helpful to you in your life. I can remember my mother saying to me when I was expressing my sadness at my child leaving home to go find his way. And she said, "No, you don't want him staying home for his whole life. He needs to go out in the world and find his way. You wouldn't be happy if he didn't do that." And my mother was able to provide perspective for me at a point where all I was seeing was my sadness of loss of a childhood that was clearly past. So, you know, it's the same kind of opportunity in relationships that we can give to one another. If you find joy in that and you have a passion to extend yourself, then you'll find that reward in the elder community, the same as if you chose early childhood development or teenage adjustment or elder adult midlife issues. These are all parts of the life continuum, and sweeping elderly care under the rug because there are aspects of it that are difficult. And there's no question about that. You have to have a certain strength and courage to face that in your elder charges, because it will cause you to reflect on your own eventual need for care. But if you're able to confront that and look past it, you can be part of a really fulfilling community of employment and service. I think also, you know, elderly people are not that fond of being elderly themselves at times. There are benefits at every age and stage of life, but there are also difficulties. So having different generations, younger generations of people around them is actually very nourishing and positive for them. It gives them hope in the future, and it helps them stay positive and have a forward-looking outlook on their lives. Employers who have an understanding of basic needs can employ that motivation to do better, to have purpose, and to live with intention. They can support that in their employees by emphasizing the positive atmosphere that their community is offering and promoting and consistently reinforcing by their actions. So if you're transparent about your pay scale, if you are offering more education or a pathway to a higher level of job opportunity to your employees, you're going to give them the possibility of moving forward with their lives, and that will continue to serve the employer well. I think the difference between levels of safety concerns are a little bit different from the physiological concerns, because nursing skills are necessary when you're dealing with individuals who can't take care of their own bodily needs. And if you are in a home care situation and your client is able to feed themselves and use the practice good hygiene and use the toilet on their own and that kind of thing, then your support is in terms of providing them with maybe the physical support to run errands, do their shopping, go out and enjoy themselves with friends, organizing their space, making sure that it's not only clean, but is free of hazards for moving around, those kinds of things. But often home care workers end up being burdened with maybe nursing type roles that they're learning on the job, and also grappling with the emotional health of their client, trying to be a companion, a good listener, maybe dealing with anger and resentment or other kinds of needs that come up. So they are a caregiver who's dealing with at-home needs for daily living are often called upon to develop their own paraprofessional skills to deal with whatever comes up in the home on a regular basis. Not everyone who needs caregiving assistance is actually suffering a chronic illness. That's maybe more clear cut, because chronic illnesses have specific guidelines and you maybe need nursing professional or nursing aid to assist. But home health care has a wide range of
of needs that it responds to. And that's part of the reason why ongoing education, if you're working for an agency, is so important, because you will encounter situations that you need some preparation to handle. If your elder charge is someone who can communicate with you, then you need to cultivate being a good listener and observer, as well as a good communicator. Certainly, your communication skills are going to be important for dealing with family members as well as the elder, and for understanding that everyone in a home care situation may be under a certain amount of emotional stress and physical exhaustion, and that's why you're being brought in. So your professionality in dealing with that is very important. Yes, you may be there to provide companionship, but if you're observant, you can see how your presence will make life easier for everyone, and do your best to feel compassion and have patience. And those traits are valuable everywhere you go in life, but no more so than when you're caring for an elder.
Yeah, I really, that question kind of came out of like, I just can't. So I've like lived with my grandma for a week before, and I just can't imagine, like, she's actually fully independent. She just got a job. She's like, whoa, she needs something. And she's like, I'm going to become a real estate agent.
Good for her.
But it is like emotionally difficult, because like when she's at home, she doesn't really do anything. Except for, she has like this video game she really likes on her computer. Mm-hmm. And all she really does is like, it's interesting, like I don't know, like I would not know how to, like the thing is, like this is why this question is important, because I don't even honestly have the skills to approach this situation in like a good way. So like even being in her family, because like all she does is like complain or like talk about other people in the family, but she doesn't really have anything else to talk about. Like, it's almost like that.
Right.
She's like used to. And also she's like kind of isolated now that she has a job, maybe less, but she still works for herself. So it's not like she's coming into contact
right.
with people. So I don't even have the skill to like drive that conversation to something different or whatever. So that's kind of like where this question came out of.
Well, I think that this is part of the challenge, especially if you're there to provide mostly the instrumental help of really everyday living. The your main job is probably to keep the individual focused on the positive, and their lives may be necessarily smaller because they've done the downsizing. They've moved into a smaller space. Their world is shrunk because they're not as closely tied to their they may not be living near their family members. So the companionship that you provide is an important element of it, but redirecting how they communicate, they're going to be focused on things perhaps that don't require that level of attention. One person doesn't need grocery delivery every single day. One person can have three basic meals that can be stretched over a week because they can make enough to not have to cook every day if that's what they choose. They don't need to do laundry every day. They may have difficulty with certain things, but they also don't always just want a person there to help. They want entertainment. So finding ways to interact with that individual and pass the time in an engaged way so that you are as involved in the activity as they are, drawing them in and having an exchange, is what becomes satisfying for the elder person and hopefully also for the caregiver. So it's that balance of understanding, what really am I here for? Yes,
I can fold this person's laundry and sweep the kitchen and make them lunch, but is that really all they want from me? Do they look withdrawn? Are they chatting with me today, or is this a day when they seem to be in a slump? What can I do to lift them up? Can we take a walk outside? Can I interest them in something that's a community event that's happening down the street or somewhere I can drive them to and they can be a participant? These kinds of things are what redirect an elder person's attention from the limitation of their life to an expansion of their life. If you think about how childcare works, you know, it's assumed that a newborn or, you know, a growing child can't exist on their own. They need help. And we all have that basic need for, you know, something to belong to, and family is the first unit. Sometimes family breaks down or they, you know, it is not up to the task, and outside people need to step in and add to the caretaking. So with older people, there is maybe a cultural bias towards allowing adults to have their own lives independent of others, and to not be elderly may feel that they're being a burden, and they want to avoid being a burden, so they hold themselves away from family. If you don't have a clear-cut cultural inclination to keep everyone together, then that's exactly what's going to happen. But what disturbs me is the negative stigma of elderhood and aging that is attached to this separation. It's hard throughout your life to stay engaged, especially when close quarters can make it kind of annoying to live with people all the time. But, you know, we manage that because of the connections between us. And really that pertains to society as a whole. So yes, you need your private space, but you need community space to share together and to feel a part of things. So all the ways that you can get that are important. And it's not always possible, especially when we're talking about those basic physiological needs on Maslow's pyramid. If someone has a chronic illness that the family members are just not skilled enough or capable of providing the proper treatment and care, then helpers have to step in. And helpers are at every level. If your elder is mentally just having difficulty with depression or other stressful characteristics that make you think that they may be too forgetful to be left on their own, then help has to come in, because we all are trying to fulfill our needs. It's just a question of, can we as people moderate some of our needs for the sake of others? And that's a question only the individual can answer. Young adults who are forward-looking can add innovation to the industry and make their humanitarian views known, to reach out to give older people the kind of richly rewarding life that they're capable of having at this stage.
Yeah. That's so interesting. That's such an interesting concept of like potentially consultants for nursing homes to help like keep them more like forward thinking, and like it would be it would be to increase their attractiveness, like them different. I don't know. I think that is an interesting concept because I think that's going to eventually, like, I mean, yeah, I like kind of want to just go on like nursing home tours now and like see how boring they are. Like, I want to see, like,
right. Do a little field research.
Like,
do a little field research. Yes. A lot of these communities do offer tours and open house days. And you say, I have a grandma. She's not that happy where she is. I can't, you know, that's why I'm here today.
My friends are going to be like, what do you do for fun? I go on nursing home tours.
Right. I was very tempted. There was one in a neighboring community that was having a Valentine's Day. Come and enjoy our chocolate desserts and get a tour. I almost went. I was really on the verge. I'm like, let me just see who these people are and what they're offering. But I just figured I'd get on a mailing list and be dunned with calls and hard sell type things. But, you know, I mean, they're, It is a tipping point right now, and I, in terms of the industry, because they need to keep their space filled, and right now a lot of people feel like they can get along living at home with just a minimum of help. So there is an ebb and flow. At the same time, you want people to be adequately paid for the work that they're doing. And they also, you know, want to feel valued. Bringing the issues of the elderly as an important segment of the population out into the light instead of pushing them away, hiding them because they're a little bit frail. They're, you know, they can still be vital contributing people in society, and we need to recognize that in the same way that we've changed our attitude towards disability in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I'm like kind of stressed about this now.
Oh, don't be.
I just feel bad.
Well, we can't fix this in a day, but we just have to add our voices. That's my thought on all of this. We have to add our voices, and it's not going to be fixed in a day. But if you're pro humanity, then that's a good way to. That's a good focus for your life, in my view. That's the choice that I made.
I just think
and
it's
that's
so,
the work that I've done.
Yeah, I just think it's so, like, I don't know why. Like, for example, so my mom's friend Charlie, he starts tech companies and like starts little tech companies. Stop it. And at his small tech company, they literally let all their employees bring their dogs to work, and they had a dog room. So they just had this room with dogs in it. And I'm just like, why at like an elder care facility wouldn't they allow that? Like, if all the employees brought their like animals, and all the elder care people could like walk their animals and like spend time with their animals. And would like, so many things that are happening like in a tech industry environment that could be happening in their.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I mean, you know, there are cleanliness and you know, there are basic guidelines about keeping a healthy environment that would have to be followed. But like you say, if there's a dog room, that's, you know, people who are not health compromised could go in there at any time and enjoy the dog environment. I mean, certainly there are people who bring pets to nursing homes on a regular basis, therapy dogs that the residents can interact with. Everybody looks forward to that day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, why don't we do, it's like, we have therapy dogs like every single week. Like, that's such a selling point.
Right.
Like, why not do more of that? Yes. Like, I don't know. Yes. I just want to hug a dog.
Pets are part of an interaction with nature that keeps people really grounded. And, you know, engagement with your community can be with the community of your environment and your natural world, and taking that away from people by keeping them shut up in their rooms or within the walls of a facility it can be really detrimental. So, right. You know, having the time to